Thank you for joining me in today's broadcast of The Love Way. Today is a continuance of the previous session where we were speaking on spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is something that we really need to understand, and without that, and with a wrong understanding of that, we will just experience defeat all the time. I want to just say this. Spiritual warfare is not trying to walk around places, buildings, doing all the spiritual mapping and all those type of things to get strongholds bound. Strongholds doesn't speak about demons over places. Now, before we get deeper into that, I just feel I want to speak for a couple of minutes on healing. Healing is so important. God wants you to be healed in your physical body. You know, wherever Jesus Christ went, He healed the sick. Whenever Jesus Christ went to a funeral, He ruined it because He raised the man that died. Now, Jesus Christ is somebody that is full of love, full of life, and He has given authority unto the church to continue with the work that He started in this world. He is the one that will complete it through us. All that we must do is to be willing to function the way He was functioning. So many times when it comes to sickness and disease, we want to argue and say, maybe God is trying to test me, maybe God is teaching me through the situation. I've got good news for you. God is not using sickness to teach you. He's not in partnership with sickness and disease. He's in partnership with goodness. He's in partnership with health and everything that is well and good towards you. You don't have to walk with that sugar diabetes. You don't have to walk with that cancer. You don't have to walk with that knee that gives you problems all the time. You know, there are people that think so many times, you know, that is the thorn in the flesh that they must have because of the revelation they have of Jesus Christ or something like that. Now, that's not the context in which Paul wrote that, and one day I'll explain that a little bit. But I want to just say this to you. God wants you well. Now, you might say, Bertie, but if God wants me well, I believe and I don't receive. Now, I want to speak a little bit about faith, and we're going to go to Mark 11, and we're going to read there from verse 22. And I believe that if you understand how faith works, and that it's not by how great your faith is, but about how great the faith of Jesus is, and if you can just put your trust in His faith that you can be healed, I believe it will be so much easier for you to receive your healing today. Hallelujah. Now remember, on the screen there will be a cell number. If you receive your healing, if you experience a touch of God, just send your praise report, because we just want to hear what God has done for you. It's also a good thing to tell somebody about what God has done for you. It's a good thing to testify. You know, so many times when people get healed, they are scared to testify because we've got such a wrong concept about God and the whole thing about the devil and spiritual warfare that we don't want to testify because we think, well, you know, if I say to somebody that I've been healed, I'm going to be attacked by the devil. Now, the Bible says we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So let's receive the overcoming power of God and testify of what He's done for us without believing that the devil is going to attack us. Don't think that if you testify that the devil's going to take your healing away. It's not the truth. That's why many people don't want to testify. That's why many people don't want to bring their doctor's reports and the things where they are, where the healings can be documented. We must do those things without having fear that the sickness will return. Because we've got this wrong mindset, we don't want to testify. And through this wrong mindset, when we testify, so many times we just believe that sickness all over us, all over ourselves again. It's by our own faith that these wrong things sometimes happen, because our faith is warped and twisted in a wrong way. But let's speak about faith. It's easy to have faith. It's easy to believe. It's just as easy to believe as what it is to fear when you hear a wrong report. Now, I want to rephrase myself. It's easier to believe than what it is to fear when you hear bad news. Because the Word of God is empowered by the Holy Spirit. So when you hear the good news, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. So when you hear that good news, faith is a result of what you hear. It just happens to you. Now let's read Mark chapter 11 and from verse 20, from verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and the Greek also says, they believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. Now that is so powerful. It says there, have faith in God in verse 22. Now, the original doesn't say have faith in God. It says have the faith of God. But you can also say have faith in God. Now we must realize that the faith that Jesus had, he operated in that. And what he's done here is he said, whatsoever, if you do not doubt in your heart, and whatsoever you believe when you speak, you shall have. So, what happened? He said, I believe that this fig tree would dry up. I believe there's authority in my words. And he spoke and it happened. So, the faith of Jesus Christ was great enough to dry up that fig tree. Now, so many times we want to have that type of faith. And I do believe that this scripture, and the true context of the scripture, is to have that type of faith. But to explain this in another way, so that it will be easy for you to receive healing when I pray for you today, is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read there from verse 9. It says here, And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So what he says here, and I want to read it again, and check this out on your screen. It says here, And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. So he says that there's a righteousness that we receive through the faith of Christ. Because of the faith of Jesus we receive. So he says, this righteousness that came to me was made possible because of the great faith that Jesus has. So I want to say this. Jesus Christ today says, and he believes, that you have been healed by his stripes. And he's got great faith, and he believes, and whatsoever he says happens, and he believes that you that he has received this healing on your behalf already. All that you need to do is to trust that his faith was great enough to give it to you today. So, rest in his faith. It's like if somebody comes to you that you do not know and he says, I'm going to pray for you. You might say, well, I might be healed. But if, say, Reinhard Bonke or Benny Hinn or Quibus or somebody comes to your house and say, I'm going to pray for you, you'll have greater faith because you know they've got great faith. Now, if Jesus would appear unto you, what would happen? You would have the greatest faith because you know he's got the greatest faith. You'll have faith in his faith. Now I've got good news for you. Jesus himself sent me to pray for you over this broadcast so you can have faith in his faith and you can receive your healing today. It's easy to believe. Let me just speak the healing power of God and receive that right now. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you for the authority you have given me. And Father, I ask right now that the people that are sick, that's listening and believing that your faith is great enough to heal them, shall be touched today. I ask that from heaven, and I speak right now. I say, cancer, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Migraine, headaches, be healed right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Weak legs, be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you give to people right now. And I speak this, be healed of hip problems in Jesus' name. Arthritis is healed and every discomfort is healed. I speak and I say, deaf ears, you are healed right now in Jesus' mighty name. Weak eyesight, in the name of Jesus, you are healed right now. And this manifests, for the righteousness of God is manifest from faith to faith. In Jesus' name, you are healed, people. Hallelujah. I want you to stand up right now where you are and just test your physical body and receive the healing and experience the healing that God has given you right now. Amen. In the meantime, we are continuing with a topic of spiritual warfare. I want you to open your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're just going to pick it up where we left off, because it's important to understand that spiritual warfare is not this whole fight with demons. Spiritual warfare is believing what Christ has given unto you. The Bible speaks where, and he says, fight the good fight of faith. That means keep on believing. Don't get tired believing. You know, I remember years ago we did a crusade in a small town just outside Kimberley called Ritchie. And one guy came to me, he said to me, you know, Bertie, I believe the Lord says we need to walk around this small town. Now, it wasn't that small, 7 times, and then there's going to be a breakthrough. Now, we were so zealous, we just believe we're going to do this thing and just help God out to get victory over that town. You know what we did? We walked around that place 7 times, praying, binding devils, casting down demons, and pulling down strongholds. And by the time we got home, we had blisters. And our voices was sore because we've been shouting and binding the devil all the time. And you know what? That evening they were still drinking like always. Now you might say, Bertie, doesn't help you preach experiences. You should preach from the scriptures. But I just want to say that was the experience I had, because I have interpreted scripture wrongly and I didn't walk in the true spiritual war that we are supposed to walk in. And I believe by doing that, I've actually been defeated, and I didn't certain time because I did not walk in faith in what Jesus has done. What I should have done is just said, well, we're not going to walk around this town, but what we can do, if you want to walk around the town, let's walk around, go into houses and preach the good news to people. And when we preach the good news, if a demon manifests, cast it out, tell people that they've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, pray for the sick. And if we would walk around that town 7 times like that, I tell you, we would have had hundreds of miracles, we would have had hundreds of salvation, and we would have had hundreds of people being delivered from the power of demons in their lives when we cast out devils out of people and not out of the sky. Now that's what I believe. How do you bind a strong man over a town? If there's a strong man over a town, which is, say for instance, alcohol, it doesn't help you go and stand outside the town and say, alcohol, I bind you. No, what you need to do is take some time and effort and preach the gospel to the people, and if they believe the good news, they'll be set free from alcohol, and then less people will drink, and there'll be a less of a power or an influence that alcohol will have in that town. And if you can preach with great power, signs, wonders and miracles, and come over with great conviction by the Holy Spirit into the lives of people, alcohol might be stopped in that area. I remember a small a township outside Stilfontein where I preached, called Kuma. I preached in one of the hostels there for the miners. And there was a lady that was selling alcohol. It's like a sour beer or something they sell. And if they don't sell it, it will become too sour and she will lose all her money. And I preached in this hostel, and man, that was like a stronghold of alcohol in that area. And people would drink and stab each other with knives. But that weekend, I preached the gospel for that whole week. And when the weekend came, so many people got saved that nobody bought the alcohol that she wanted to sell. And about 5,000 rands worth of liquor just got sour and she lost money. Now that was sorry for her, but she wanted to murder me. She hired somebody to come with a knife and to stab me on the stage. And this guy came and he jumped on the stage, and I just felt, man, I got irritated with this guy. Why is he sitting on my stage? He just jumped onto the side and he sat down. And I just said, man, sit down. And he looked at me with big eyes. He ran into the shebeen, threw down the knife that he had in his hands, ran forward, repented, gave his life to Jesus. He said, because he saw the glory of God shining out of me and some angels. And he said, sorry, man of God, I want to give my life to Jesus. So by just preaching the word of God, a stronghold over that hostel, if you want to be very spiritual, to call it like that, was broken by people believing. So we need to fight the good fight of faith. And this whole thing about spiritual warfare, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, as we're going to read it now, is all about what you believe and what you think about what God has done in Jesus Christ. Let's read that scripture and let's read from verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that is, man, that is so, so powerful. Now what it says here in verse 3 and 4, it clearly says that we are in a war and in a warfare. Now, what is this war? What is this warfare? It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For though we have physical bodies and walk in this physical world, the war we have is not in physical things. It is a spiritual thing. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So there's weapons with which we war, which is mighty because of God and because of what Jesus has done. And that brings down strongholds. Now, in verse 5 it says here, and this is what happens when we use these weapons. It says, it's for the casting down of imaginations. Now that word imaginations means reasonings. It's for the casting down of reasonings or arguments. So the whole spiritual warfare thing and the weapons of our warfare has got all to do with reasonings, arguments, the way we think. Listen to this. Casting down imaginations or reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge, it speaks about knowledge, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that can be in your life and it can be in the lives of others as well. Now, we've got weapons of our warfare, and in the next session I'll get into Ephesians chapter 6, but I just want to touch on some of that. Some of the weapons are like this. It's called faith, it's called righteousness, it's called the truth, it's called the gospel of peace, and all those things. So how do you fight with a breastplate of righteousness? How do you fight with a sword, which is called the word or the good news or the message of Jesus Christ? You need to apply the message of Jesus Christ to your own mind and your own thought pattern. Let me give you an example. Say you've got you don't have enough money. Now, what comes to your mind is, the first thing that comes to your mind is, well, you know, I must have sinned somewhere because I've opened a door and now the devil has got my money. And that's why I'm not blessed. Now what you're going to do is you're going to do introspection. You're going to look into your life seeking sin. Man, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to seek the wrong things. Well, anyway, that's what happens most of the time. You start to look for the wrong thing in your life. Well, I don't have enough money. I cannot pay my bill this month. You know what? The fridge packed up and the car broke. Now that means the devil has attacked me and my car broke and my fridge packed up and I've opened a door for the devil somewhere. I must have sinned and the devil attacked. I'm going to bind the devil. Oh, devil that breaks things, I bind you in Jesus' name and I loose the Holy Spirit. Now I tell you, who told you in any way that somebody can bind the Holy Spirit? You cannot bind the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. Who is stronger than Him? Nobody. And I mean, every day we bind the devil. Devil, I bind you. Now who's loosening him every evening? So that he can walk around loose and just do all these things. Now the devil is not loose and God bound. No. The power of the devil has been bound. He's been defeated by the law being nailed to the cross according to Colossians 2 verses 14. And the power of the Spirit is loose. You see, the thing here is your thought pattern is not right. We think the devil's just attacking us. Now, let me say it this way. The devil attack old cars, not new ones. I've seen it. I've had an old Nissan Tracker pickup with a Ford V6 engine in it, a taxi gearbox, and an 1800 diff. And all of them we got it from the scrapyard. And you know how the devil attacked that pickup? Man, he attacked the thing all the time. And then one day somebody blessed me with an almost new car. The devil didn't attack it once because it was new. Man, that might sound funny, but that's how we sometimes think. You've got that fridge for 40 years and now the thing breaks and you think the devil's attacked it. Or they've just made the thing weak and now it breaks and you think it's the devil. It's not the devil. It's the thing that's weak. We live in a broken world, people. Over here, things break. That's the way it happens. Until the sons of God's revealed and this world is made new, that's the type of stuff that happens. Now, what we need to do is renew our minds. And I believe out of the renewal of that mind and bringing everything captive under Jesus, we will experience the newness of life. For instance, say your fridge broke and your car broke the same month. It's very suspicious. It must be a demon or a devil. Yeah, I'm looking for something in my house. Maybe somebody brought a curse. You go through every painting you have. You go through every little sculpture you have thinking the power of the devil's in the thing. And you just think, oh, we need to bind this, we need this. You start to pray. You start to look for an open door. You know what needs to happen? You don't need to even think, well, what sin have I committed so that the devil can attack me? Because that already shows you, you've been defeated in your mind. You've been defeated before you even started to pray. I'm talking about in your mind, not in reality. In reality, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. But what happened is, something broke. The law came up into your mind. You say, by what I do, I get blessed or cursed. So what have I done wrong? Now what you need to do with that thought is you need to bring it captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now let's read the scripture. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I think this is good. It blesses me while I preach it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every reasoning and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That means to bring everything that you know that is not the same as what God knows captive to the knowledge of God and to bring it down. To say, no, what God knows is higher than what I know. My mind wants to tell me I've done something wrong. I've committed some secret sin and now the fridge is broken and the car is broken. Bring that thought that says, well, because I've done something wrong, my car broke, bring it captive to the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, not in me. Bring that thought captive. And this is how you bring it captive. Not by saying, I take you captive. No, you bring it captive by taking the thought of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then it says, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, when the car breaks and the fridge breaks, what do I say? I say, Lord, I thank you that these things will be fixed. I thank you that I am provided. I thank you that my stuff is protected because of your obedience, Lord. Amen. Let's look at it, because sometimes we read the Bible and our minds are blinded because we've got a law mentality. Let's see the second part of verse 5. It says, itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So every thought that comes into your mind that says you cannot be blessed because you haven't done this and you haven't done that, this is our spiritual war. We must bring that thought captive to how Christ obeyed on my behalf so that I can have that. Hallelujah. That's the war we're in. People, take this good news, man. Take this wonderful news. Let's renew our mind. Let's bring every thought that is different to what God thinks about us, the good thing that He thinks about us, captive by believing and renewing our minds to what God thinks. Hallelujah. When you read the Word, you should see Jesus, because this Word is Jesus. It's not you. You shouldn't see your sins. You should see Jesus. Hallelujah. And have faith in His faith. Thank you for joining me in this broadcast, and God bless you.